This is a precursor.
Precursor announcement. So Bethany here, if you follow us, if you follow me on Instagram, I posted my new relationship situation this weekend.
FYI, Bethany got a boyfriend.
And it's only a big deal because no one ever thought it would happen because my heart is made of stone.
And she wrote on her Instagram that we were going to talk about her new relationship boyfriend person on our next episode.
Well, we recorded this episode before all of that because it's a bonus.
Before you broke the internet with your hand-holding Instagram photo.
Right. So what you're about to hear doesn't really deal with it. But our episode that comes this Wednesday, you'll hear all about it.
Yes.
We're just letting you know what's coming.
I can't believe you got a boyfriend.
It's not that big of a deal. It's just that someone puts up with my crap.
Welcome to an Acquired Taste bonus episode.
It's a bonus episode.
A bonus episode.
And we're drunk. La, la, la,
la. Cheers. Cheers. So it's Friday, and it's freezing here in New York City.
It's like 20 degrees.
I would rather it be this temperature than the sort of in-between temperature that we've been getting lately.
Because at least you know. Yeah, like 2 days ago, I was on the subway sweating.
Yes.
Sweating.
Because public transportation doesn't take into account that you're wearing tons and tons of layers.
Yes, and it was like humid for some reason. It was just a mess. So at least this is cold. You know what you're getting. This is the first day of the whole winter season that I've busted out my winter coat.
Oh,
I usually just wear like my
a light cardigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're doing this from Kathleen's studio, NYC.
Yeah. What should we call this? Like the back room studio?
Yeah, the back room. Oh, the back room.
Not to be confused with the teen who hangs out in the back room,
which is.
Or that's the back door.
Wait.
Back door teen mom.
Oh, yes. No, that's her. So, Kathleen, you texted me today and you were like, oh my gosh, I have an email. We're ready. We're going to do this thing. Let's do this thing. What's the email? I haven't read it. I don't know what's happening.
Our taste bud, Jasmine.
Yeah. Jasmine with an S or Jasmine with a Z? I need to know.
With an S.
Okay.
Like the Disney Jasmine.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
She sent us this email yesterday. When I was reading it, I had to pick my jaw up. It's juicy. I don't know if you're ready for this juice.
I'm ready for this juice. By the way, this wine is sitting really nicely on my empty stomach, and I'm excited about how things are going to be in about 10 minutes.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Really excited. Because Kathleen poured a generous pour, gentle listener.
I have a heavy hand.
And I'm happy about it, and I'm halfway through.
That's what happens when I'm thirsty. I drink my wine
too
quickly.
It's a liquid. What else are you supposed to do? My mom can nurse a glass of wine for like an hour, and I'm just wondering how she does it.
I would like to acquire that trait.
Yeah. If I have a glass of wine in my hand, all I'm thinking about, I don't listen to what you're saying. I'm literally just thinking about this wine that's in my hand.
Should I read this email?
While you read, I'm going to sip.
As a precursor, us talking about making calling off your wedding more of a mainstream thing really spoke to her, and that's what prompted her to write this email.
So this is a couple episodes ago.
Yes. Okay, Jasmine writes, I just turned 26 and I've been married for a little over 1 year.
Okay.
I met my husband when I was 20 years old and I was at a very low point in my life. We went to a school that was more high pressure than regular schools. And it was a vocational school of sorts.
Okay.
Her college experience, she writes, wasn't like a regular college experience. When she first met her now husband, she wasn't expecting to date him because the microcosm in which her college created this high pressure environment, because they had to spend more time with each other than a regular college group of friends would.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Yeah.
What's a vocational school?
It's a school where you learn a trade.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
She is an engineer.
Okay.
And she was there to learn really basically only engineering.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay. I would have liked to have gone to a vocational school for like making out.
Yeah.
That's not a thing, but I'm looking at you, CUNY. Is CUNY a thing?
Yeah, CUNY is the city of New York.
Okay, perfect. Thank
and
you.
SUNY is the state of New York.
Perfect. CUNY, get a making out type of situation, please.
I would have liked to have gone to a vocational school for skills like doing your taxes.
Yeah, taxes. I think that's an accounting thing situation.
How to change your oil in your car.
I think that would probably take a day.
All essential life things that you need to know.
Where are you supposed to learn that? I wonder.
Know. YouTube? I don't know.
How does anyone do anything?
Okay.
All right. Back to you, Jasmine.
When I met my husband, we were both taking turns traveling overseas, and we never expected it to really go long term, but it did. And to him, I was the only woman he had truly been sexually intimate with, and he immediately developed a very strong bond with me, but I didn't necessarily feel it back towards him. Mm. When I got home from being overseas, the government had shut down, and it was preventing him from receiving the licenses that he needed to be spending his time studying. studying for. Oh. So we ended up hanging out a lot more than we originally intended to.
Gotcha. It's like an episode from a TV show where you both get stuck in an elevator.
Yeah.
And you end up getting to know each other really well when you both thought you were just going to be getting off and, on a different floor.
And it's a person you never necessarily would have dated before. Yeah.
Okay.
We were wrapped up in the notion that this was a sign from God that we were meant to be together. So we eventually started dating seriously and we got engaged a little over a year after our first date. We were 22 and 23.
It's my mom's story.
Really? Your mom was engaged at 22?
I think she and my dad had been dating for like a year or a year and a half. And they were in their very, I think they got married at 22 or 23.
That's crazy.
I'm sorry if I'm butchering that, mom. But yeah, I mean, very early 20s. Like they had been dating for about a year. So this is my mom's story.
Wow.
Without the vocational thing.
You know, I got engaged when I was 24, about to turn 25. And even then, I still needed like that year of the time that we spent engaged to sort of figure out who I was and what I wanted.
Yeah. Being in your early 20s, if you're in your early 20s, it's sort of like Mercury is in retrograde for an entire decade. Don't sign any contracts.
No.
Don't make any big decisions.
Don't buy any commercial buildings.
No, because your brain is a mess.
Uh-huh.
And you're a mess.
Don't buy a car. Don't lease a car. Maybe buy a used car.
Yeah, off of Craigslist, bring a human with you.
Yes.
Like, just don't do anything you want to do. Just stop.
Yeah.
And wait.
Yeah, and if there's one thing you want to do, just cut your hair every time you get upset about something.
Yes.
That's okay.
That's fine. But like any other big decisions, like just don't.
No.
Because you're like, I know everything there is to know, but you don't.
Yeah. And if you think you should buy a king bed, don't do that either. No.
No, not yet.
Stay in your twin as long as you can.
You got to earn that king and you're not going to have space.
You save money on sheets.
Yeah, they're expensive. You go to Marshall's. Sheets are like $20 for a normal bed, and then they're like $60 for a king.
It's like triple the price.
I'm not going to spend that.
No.
I'm going to sleep on a top sheet that I've placed over my mattress and then another top sheet on top of that.
I was on Wayfair the other day.
They got what you need.
Yeah, they do. I needed a side table. And then I was looking at some of the sheets and the duvet sets. They have some duvet sets for like $400.
How dare you? How dare you?
I mean, how many kings and queens are out there, American royalty, sleeping on Wayfair sheets for $400?
And heaven forbid, you have a California king, which is longer. I don't even know where those sheets come from.
I'm just thankful I'm a short person.
Yeah, you're lucky. I'm a tall.
Yes, you are.
My feet dangle off the edge of my bed and I'm not making that up.
A California king would probably suit you very well.
I would love it. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Over the year that we were engaged, we moved into my parents' house where my sister also lived. And after a lot of drama and emotional fighting with my sister, we decided to buy a house. And suddenly I found myself at the age of 23 fighting with my family, engaged and a homeowner.
Oh my gosh, it happens so fast.
And also during this time, I got a new job and I was completing my MBA. Holy mackerel.
Oof.
So there were major life changes going on over the course of several months. Life was moving along and my husband was pushing me to make a date for the wedding. I went to my bachelorette party a few months before the wedding. Most of our wedding payments had been already made at this point. And at my bachelorette party, I really contemplated on whether or not I should get married. I mentioned this to my therapist, who blamed it on cold feet and that these feelings were common. I also mentioned it to my husband, who immediately jumped down my throat at the thought of calling off the wedding, saying I only wanted to do it so I could f*** other men.
Red flag.
This is
massive red flag.
Yeah. Yikes.
Okay.
Obviously wasn't true, but my excuse for not calling it off was that we had already spent all this money.
Sure.
So we had to go through with it.
Sure. Absolutely.
I also felt indebted to my soon-to-be husband after all of the life struggles that I had been through this year with my family and such, and he helped me through. I still feel that I wouldn't be alive if it weren't for him today. So she was going through a dark time, and he helped her through it. Through all of this, I was never excited for the wedding, honestly, and I couldn't wait for it to be over. Everyone was projecting their excitement on me, and I guess it allowed me to get by, but I wasn't speaking to my sister, and I was barely talking to my parents at the time of the wedding. My mom and I also don't have the best relationship, so I was just kind of going through the motions with her.
Oh, gosh. So this time when you're supposed to be so excited, you're supposed to be hanging out with your family and like all of your friends. She just wasn't having that.
Fast forward to almost a year of marriage. I had an affair with a married man at my job.
Okay.
Never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined that I would become, in quotation marks, that girl, I know that it's a total cliche. I never thought I'd be capable of hurting and betraying my husband in this way, and he doesn't know about the affair, and I feel the need to tell him.
Nope.
She continues, it's not to absolve myself of any guilt, but I do feel like he deserves to know that I turned this marriage into a lie and I broke it. Oh, lordy lord.
Okay, so here's my thought on telling someone that you've cheated on them.
Yeah.
If you have no intention of ever doing it again,
yeah,
and you know you messed up, don't tell them.
Yeah.
That's my opinion, because you are on a certain level doing it to rid yourself of that guilt, and you're going to ruin them.
If somebody cheated, so let's say my husband, God, I'm going to kiss it up to God.
Yeah.
If he cheated on me.
Yeah.
And he really truly wanted to be with me for the rest of his life, and it was a fleeting mistake.
Yep.
I would never want to know.
Same. And I think that the guilt that you feel from never telling that person is your payment for the indiscretion, right?
I agree, yes.
I think if it's something that you are doing as a way to get out of the relationship, I think if it's something that's been going on for a long time, then obviously you have to say something. And I know that this is not everyone's going to agree, but I really think that confessing to a one-time thing that's never going to happen again is for you and not for them.
I agree.
And they will never be able to be the same. And I think that you have to you have to live with that guilt, and that's your karmic duty. And I'm not trying to shame you, Jasmine. No. All of these things happen for a reason, but I'm just saying I'm wary about that. Do you like more wine?
Yes, please. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Put that down. We're going to kill this bottle.
Yes.
It's an Argentinian kind of Friday.
I love an Argentinian. Do you know what else I love? An Italian.
So last night I was watching the episode of Friends where Ross and Rachel are on a break.
Oh.
You're not really into Friends, are you?
I watched up to a point, but I never got to where Ross and Rachel were involved.
So everybody knows the saying. It's like always a meme. We were on a break. We were on a break. Okay.
Is that what that's from?
Yes.
Okay, good.
They sort of half break up and Ross gets really drunk. He makes a bad decision. He sleeps with somebody. And the next day, Rachel calls him on his answering machine and is like, I love you. Like, this is a mistake. Let's get back together.
Ooh.
So he tells his two friends, Chandler and Ross.
I know who they are.
I mean, Chandler and Joey.
So he tells these two other fellas.
These two other fellas.
One is named Chandler.
And they say to him, well, you have to make sure that there's no trail.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that the woman you slept with doesn't know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who knows Rachel.
Yeah.
So the whole episode, Ross is going through the chain of people who might know Rachel. And before he can fix it, the chain gets to Rachel. And that's how she finds out. So then they're fighting. I was on a break.
Yeah.
So had Ross, like, you know, say the chain didn't happen and Ross never told Rachel, like, maybe that show would have had a different outcome.
Yeah.
Just saying. I like to think analytically about Friends on Friday nights.
I should start watching that show.
It's really so good.
Netflix?
Yes.
Okay. What wine is this? It's going down so nicely.
It's cheap. Cheapy cheap.
Oh, I got a text message from a really cute boy. Hold on.
A cute boy? Wait, can we just say it, Bethany?
Not yet.
All right.
Wait, hold on.
Bethany's going on a date. I'm just going to leave it there. I'm going to edit this bonus, so I'm not cutting that out. Okay, thanks. Bye. Back to Jasmine. She continues, we've been in counseling for a few sessions, which hasn't helped, and I want to try and make this work. But I have deep, deep feelings that I really need to tell my husband. I picture us having children.
Okay.
But I picture us co-parenting our children. So she doesn't picture them staying together in the long run. She pictures them parenting the children separately because in her mind, they're not married anymore.
But she wants to have kids with him.
God, I really feel like a lot of couples have children sometimes when they need a Band-Aid. Right?
Yeah. Yes, there is that belief, like, things are a problem. If we have kids together, it'll be better. I wonder also if she, does she say that she sees herself as having kids with him because she thinks he'd be a good dad?
He wants to be a dad. She gets to that later.
Okay.
And ever since I had this affair, I can't focus at work. I just keep thinking about it and I feel like I need to do some soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to blame a higher being for my actions, but I feel that God allowed this to shake me up and make me face the hard truth that maybe I wasn't supposed to get married to this person or at that time.
Yeah.
I can see that.
She was so young.
Very young. I've been grappling with the decision of taking a 1 to 3 month sabbatical and traveling alone and just being with my thoughts. How do you tell a spouse or a girlfriend or a boyfriend that?
Well, I think it's a come to Jesus conversation.
Yeah.
Look, I think that you have to take care of you.
Of course.
And that's one lesson that my mom and sisters have been trying to hammer into my head, yeah, especially recently, is you have to do what is best for you, not in a way that harms other people, but just in a way that ensures that you're living your life for yourself and you're not doing something at the expense of your own life, mm-hmm, to make sure that you don't hurt someone else's feelings.
Yeah.
And it sounds like right now Jasmine is living at the expense of her own life.
Yeah.
Because marriage can and should, in people's minds, be for life. How long are you going to sentence yourself to that if it's not something that you're feeling right about?
I think women fall into a hole when things don't work out that society just expects you to be successful with.
What do you mean?
Like marriage or motherhood. Mm-hmm. Jasmine's only 26 years old.
Jasmine, you're still in your mid-20s. Remember what we said earlier? Don't sign contracts. Your brain just finished developing, and I'm not even exaggerating.
I mean, really, don't make any hard decisions until you're 55.
No, 55 is I think that's legal. Like, that's the cutoff.
That's like 10 years before people generally retire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. 50, you have a 10-year span of really good life decisions.
55 to 65.
Yeah.
That's your goal. That's like the prime time.
Before then, nothing mess. Serious.
No.
After that, relax.
Yeah, chill. 10 years, man. But those 10 years are hard.
She says that her mom knows about the affair and is adamant that she never reveals it to her husband. Oof.
I agree with mom.
If I had an affair, I wouldn't tell anybody.
Oh, I would tell everyone I know.
You would?
I would. Here's who I would tell. Not because it was salacious, but because I would need advice and I would feel so terrible. I would tell you, Kathleen.
Okay. I wouldn't judge you.
Thank you. I would tell my mom.
Yeah.
She wouldn't judge me either. I would tell both of my sisters.
Yeah.
I would tell my girlfriend, Miran. Mm-hmm. I would tell my friend, John. Who else would I tell? My therapist and my nutritionist.
Okay.
How many is that?
That's like a 25, give or take.
You guys are like my team. How many people would you tell?
I would make a fake account and tell my story on a message board.
Yeah.
I would go on Reddit with a fake account and share my story there and see what strangers had to say.
Because you have to get it out. I mean, that's again why I think therapy is so important. Not trying to push it on anyone, but you have to get it out to somebody. You'll go insane.
Even if it's anonymously online,
mm-hmm,
it helps.
Is Post Secret still a thing?
You know, I interviewed the guy who was behind Post Secret when I was in college.
Really?
He was an interesting... Oh, I can't even remember his name now. Wait, we should look it up to do... Because it really was a genius idea back when it was... when it was started.
If you don't know what Post Secret is, it was, I think originally it was physical. You would like take a postcard, you could decorate it any way you wanted, and then you would write your innermost secret or yes, secrets on it and mail it in.
Yeah.
And then this person would post it on this website and you could read all of these different people's deepest, darkest secrets that were anonymous.
So his name was Frank Warren, and he put out a couple of books of all of the best postcards that he received. He started a P.O. box, and I believe it was in Maryland. And people would, in very artistic ways, write their deepest, darkest secrets. And he had a website. It was like a blogger website, like something really rudimentary for the late 90s, early 2000s. And he would just scan these postcards in, and some of it was absolutely heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. I remember, like, I was working at the bank at the time, and I would just sit and scroll through that website and commiserate because I was so miserable. And I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one.
Post Secret and Perez Hilton are the two sites that I checked every single day from the year 2004 to 2008. Yep,
that's about right. Okay, so how does Jasmine end this?
She just needs advice. Just the fact that I've told you girls my story now is comforting. And I want to thank you for taking the time to read this. And I'm just at a loss of what to do. Mm. Health and happiness to you all.
Ugh. Jasmine, oh, you poor thing.
It's okay to admit to yourself that you settled.
Yeah, and it sounds like this all just happened so fast. It's like, I know somebody who was dating someone. They accidentally got pregnant. They needed a bigger house, so they got a mortgage. And then they had one kid they wanted to give their child a sibling.
Yeah.
So they had a second kid. And then this person that I know all of a sudden is a parent with two kids and a mortgage. And it happened within a few years. Like, it happened so fast and they didn't see it coming. And if that's not your ultimate dream, you can feel like your head is spinning, but that doesn't mean that. And Jasmine, you're in a place right now where you don't have children with him. Mm-hmm. And if you're truly not happy, you owe it to yourself, but you also owe it to him.
Yes.
To be honest about that, because it means that there's somebody else that's out there for him that he should be with. And there's another woman out there, if he's straight, who is looking for her person, and it's him and he's not available. And she's like, what the hell? Like, there's such a ripple effect. And I think you really owe it to yourself, Jasmine, to be honest, as scary as it is, you don't want to be 55, 60, 65 and being like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Where did the years go?
If I were her, I wouldn't tell him about the affair.
No, I don't think you should.
I would take that sabbatical that she's talking about. I would travel.
Yep.
Obviously, he's going to know something's up when she says to him, I'm leaving for 3 months to go to Europe or wherever it is that she wants to go. And then when she gets back, because this whole time he's known something was going on with her.
Yeah.
Then I would say, hey, I would like to get divorced. Or, so now I'm going to play devil's advocate to my own advice.
Okay.
What if in the time that she's gone, he sells the house, takes all the money, clears their bank accounts and pieces out? Jasmine, I take it back. End this relationship with him first.
Yeah.
And then do it.
That scares me. Money scares me. Joint bank accounts scare me.
Yeah.
I think if you do not have joint bank accounts, then I think it's like, hey, I'm having a lot of feelings. I don't know what's going on. I really need to take some time.
Yeah.
If you do have joint bank accounts, I think you keep it as amicable as possible so that he doesn't freak and run and take. No matter how hard it gets, and even if he takes everything, you will live. It's not going to kill you.
I think
you have to live for yourself and whatever is going to make you the happiest.
Jasmine, your single life after you make this incredibly hard shift is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
You're going to find happiness. Weight is going to be lifted off your shoulders.
Yep.
Just because he's not the person for you doesn't make him a bad person.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't need to have done anything wrong. It's just sometimes two people find themselves in a situation they're not ready for or they grow apart.
I truly believe, Bethany and I were having this conversation off the mic a few days ago. I believe that there's not just one person for everybody.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's a set of circumstances in which you meet your person or where you are when one of your people crosses your path,
yep.
whether or not they'll stay your person forever.
Yeah, and I think that person can change as you grow if you two don't grow in the same direction. Like my mom, I hope my mom isn't mad that I'm like sharing all this, but my mom believes that she was supposed to be with my dad.
Yeah.
While all of us kids were being raised.
Yep.
Because my dad is an amazing father.
Yep.
And, between the two of them, they raised three pretty amazing women.
You guys are a little bit more than pretty amazing.
Thanks so much. But she truly believes that that's why they were supposed to meet and get married and have kids. And then, you know, they grew apart and it was time for people to like crack that shell, spread those wings, move on to the next and grow in a different way.
Exactly.
And I believe that that's the case. And I think maybe there's a lesson from this you were supposed to learn. And I think for anyone who finds themselves in a relationship they feel stuck in,
yeah,
it can feel so scary to get out of it. And it might take a few attempts to get out of it, but it can be so much better. And just keep trying. My last really serious relationship, I had to end it 3 times before it took.
Really?
But it was worth it.
Well, I'm so glad that that's over and you're going on a date tomorrow. Just breathe. You're going to be okay, girlfriend. Your heart's starting to crack open. That's what that feeling is.
It's so here's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Don't start it with here's the problem. You're the problem.
I turned my back.
Yes.
And someone got through the barricaded door when I wasn't looking.
Yeah. Well, he's very thin. So...
He's lean, but he's toned.
He's lean and toned, and he got through the crack.
He's very handsome. I like his face.
It's like slipping through the jail cell. Like the designer of the metal bars just made one slightly too wide.
Yeah, and he found it.
I'm very excited for you. Listen, we're not going to give more details.
I'll give details when I can, but I am in a happy mood.
If there are any taste buds out there who were feeling discouraged like Bethany was for so long.
I wasn't discouraged. I was actively looking to be single for the rest of my life.
No, your heart had shut down.
Yes, it was a good place to be.
And there was a chastity bell over your heart.
And that felt good because I knew what was happening and I knew what to expect.
Yeah, and you needed a little bit of stability, and stability for you was being single.
Yes.
I understand that.
Yes, it's a good place to be.
And I am equally as excited for maybe some of that stability to be shaking itself off of your heart valves.
Yeah. Good. He's scared of you, by the way, slash is excited to meet you.
I cannot wait to meet you.
Because he knows that you're the sort of the gateway to everything else.
Obviously, Avi, I'm standing at the...
You're my sentry.
I'm standing at... goodness gracious.
The door?
No, purgatory.
Oh.
But because you're not quite in heaven yet.
No.
So I'm standing at the entrance to Bethany's relationship purgatory with a pitchfork. It's a glitter gold pitchfork.
Oh, it's a fabulous pitchfork.
But I'm not afraid to use it.
Okay.
I bought it at Michael's over Christmas break. They're having good sales.
They have great sales.
They really do. I need you to settle a marriage dispute for me.
Yes. Okay. Happy to do it.
First, let's have some wine.
Okay, hold on. Oh, I am drunk. It's been a glass and a half and I'm wasted.
Good thing Neil's coming home with a pizza soon for the two of us. Mm. And if you're not too tired, maybe we can squeeze in an episode of R. Kelly's Lifetime special.
Oh my gosh. I want to punch that man in the face.
Yeah, I would like to do other things to that man.
Ugh.
My friend was sent a dick pic over New Year's Eve. And the guy sends the dick pic. I don't know, this like guy on Tinder that she's been like casually texting with. I don't even know if she's ever met this guy in person. And like, he also might be gay. I'm not really sure exactly what the situation is. But he sends her a dick pic over New Year's Eve and then he writes, "Oh, sorry, not for you."
Excuse me?
Okay, WTF.
First of all, that's like an aggressive move to send a dick pic. But then second of all, it's also offensive that it's not for me. I'm mad that you sent it, but I'm mad it's not for me.
Here's the kicker. He has an iPhone and he shoots all of his photos in live mode. So not only is this dick pic not for her, you can also see him propping himself up.
If you're going to send a dick pic, turn off live mode.
Okay. If you don't know what live mode is, you know that little ball in
the little
corner,
circle
in the corner. If you hold your finger on this circle, it gives all the frames before that person took that photo.
Including the sound. So if you're like me and you're listening to a podcast with a lot of swearing in it and you send a picture of your cats to your family, that's a bad move.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Turn off live photo. It takes up too much memory anyway.
And so you could see him sort of fluffing himself. Okay, and this is the other kicker. It's over the toilet.
Ew, bro.
So gross.
There's so many things that are wrong.
He's fluffing himself standing over the toilet.
I can pick 5 things that are wrong in that right now.
Whoever, if you're going to send me a dick pic, it best be over a bed of flowers or a furry white carpet that's pristine.
Correct. A of all, I need to have requested it. B of all, it needs to be requested. C of all, consensual dick pic. D of all, don't live photo that. E of all, make sure that the mise-en-scene is very pretty. I don't want a toothbrush. I don't want pomade. I don't want a gross open toilet.
No, I don't want a ruler for context.
No.
If you look big or you successfully got a good angle, congratulations. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah. What I do want, if you're going to send an unsolicited dick pic, is put your credit card next to it so I know how big it is compared to your credit card. Make sure the credit card is face up with all of the numbers listed. Yeah.
And then take a second photo and flip it over so we can see that CVC number.
Those 3 numbers.
Has anybody ever sent you a dick pic?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Lots?
Unsolicited.
Really?
Yes. That's why I don't go into my other DMs on Instagram, because dudes be sending dick pics that I don't want. Rando dudes be sending dick pics. Dudes, you be sending dick pics.
I don't have a lot of experience with the dick. I'm just going to put it out there. I've really only ever seen in person maybe 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you got married so young.
Yeah. And I just, it was also when I was sexually active with other people other than my husband, I wasn't really into looking at the D.
It's not an attractive part of the bod.
No, it's really not.
I can see where lesbians are coming from.
Uh-huh.
because everything pretty, pretty. Yeah. No matter as a woman, no matter what shape you are, there's prettiness going on.
There's beauty. Even if you're hairy, if you're shaven, no matter what it is.
There's just like some prettiness going on your body.
It's the shape of the female body too. Mm-hmm. The round curves.
Yeah, like, curves, and like they're soft and they're like gentle and
yeah.
Dude's aggressive.
No, and even when a guy's totally jacked, I'm not necessarily attracted to that either.
I need to be attracted to your soul before I'm attracted to your D. You can quote me on that.
You have to wear bigger pants than I wear. That's just like... That's the only thing I really look for in a guy.
Yeah.
You have to wear bigger pants.
I once dated a guy who I tried his jeans on and he was like, those won't fit you. Your hips are too big. And I'm like, all
right. WTF. I would have left. I would have smashed his
person. But guess what? I was in my 20s. Yeah. I didn't know any better.
Yeah. When I was in my 20s, I was hooking up with this guy, the only one night stand I've ever had. That mother effer tried to put a finger in my butt.
What?
Yeah. Just like slipped it in there.
You
I was like,
ask consent.
Dude, you need to ask consent to put a finger in my butt. First of all, this was not like a thing that people even talked about back then. So no. I was really thrown off.
Pre-digital.
I was basically a virgin. I mean, I wasn't a virgin, but I was basically a
virgin.
Basically,
you thought about being a virgin a lot.
And then I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. That comes out of left field. Don't do that. You got to ask for that. You got to know what's happening.
Thank God he didn't live in my dorm. Thank the Lord.
Different dorm.
Different dorm.
Long distance relationship. So recently... This is how low the bar is on dude behavior.
Uh-huh.
I recently looked up a dude I went to college with.
Okay.
Because he was in a play I was in, and we were at the theater house.
Were you in a Facebook hole?
Yes. Fell down a Facebook hole.
Yeah.
If you were a theater kid, the theater house, if you were lucky enough to have one, the theater house was dope. So the theater house is whatever apartment building or house that a significant number of theater people were renting and sharing.
Okay.
And I went to St. Cloud State University for 2 years before I transferred. And so the theater house was this awesome house on the way to campus. The doors were always unlocked. Mm-hmm. So like if it was hell week and you were in tech week for a play, you could go and like pass out on their couch for a couple hours before
Amazing.
Going to rehearsal. It was always open. And
sounds like an orgy. Or like it was the invitation for an orgy.
Yeah, the invitation for an orgy.
Uh-huh.
So one night during a theater party, I made out with this dude named Jesse.
Okay.
And Jesse was like a California surfer type, long blonde hair, always a little, his eyes were always squinty. Like he was just, and I was a super naive baby Bethany.
Uh-huh.
And we're making out in the theater house bathroom up against the bathroom door. I was a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse was like, hey, do you want to like... really mess around a little bit?
Oh, how romantic.
And I said, no, I'm not. No, can we just kiss? And he was like, okay. And it never occurred to me what a wonderful thing it was that he said okay until this year. I found him. I need to message him. I just wanted to say thanks to him for not forcing me to have sex. Like he literally, I just said no and he was like, okay. And we just made out for like another 2 hours.
That
was amazing.
That should be, so I really... think that boys and girls should take these classes, sexual consent 101.
I think they do it now.
Really?
I think some schools do it.
Because that needs to be in the handbook for guys. I mean, and for girls too. I know I'm stereotyping.
Yes.
Wait. So back to the marital dispute that I need you to settle. And it's good timing because my husband just walked in.
Oh, hi, Neil.
Hello.
Did you bring pizza?
I did.
Oh, okay.
How are you?
I am good.
What are your feelings about your wife, Kathleen? Tell them into this microphone.
Into the microphone.
You look good today, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
though I hear that you're cheating on me now.
I have a date tomorrow with someone whose face I like to think about.
She's going on a date with a very cute guy. Her heart is opening up.
I am crushed.
I'm sorry, but you're still my number one. And if anything happens between you and Kathleen, I am absolutely marrying you.
Okay. Well, after this, there may be a chance for that because let me tell you, there's a marital dispute going on.
Okay. So Neil, girl, Kathleen, what's going on with you two?
No, he doesn't even want to say it. He doesn't even. Do you know what I'm going to say?
No. Which one?
Okay. Yeah. Which one?
Go get the pizza while we're doing this.
So my spin studio, the gym that I go to, they got new bikes.
Okay.
And I've been to a few classes this week.
Yeah.
I didn't even know this is possible. I've developed, how do you even say this? I've developed a blister in my buttocks.
Oh, it's a chafing situation.
There's a chafing situation because the new seats are really throwing me off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
So I'm in a little bit of pain. So last night You know, when you have a blister, if it's on your foot, wherever it is,
yeah,
you need to let it get some air.
Yeah, it's got to get some air.
Because then it dries out and yeah. then it heals.
Yeah. You don't want to keep it in any way moist.
I'm under the covers last night and I'm just like, I'm going to take off my clothes. My butt needs to get some air.
You said that?
Yes.
Hot.
Took off her shirt too. I don't know why.
I let everything need it.
Well, you don't want to Donald Duck it.
No.
I mean, if you're going to be naked, you got to be naked.
And I asked him very nicely. I mean, we've been married for 6 years now.
Has it been 6 years? Yeah. I went to your wedding.
I know. 6 years ago. Isn't that crazy?
Jesus.
And we took our vows in sickness and in health. Yeah. And I think that butt blisters fall under the category of sickness.
What did you ask him to do? Neil, what did she ask you to do?
She asked me to blow on the blister.
No! Kathleen!
Now, I just... Hold on. I'd like to... With your audience here, with the taste buds,
yeah.
I'd like to perform a little thought exercise.
Yeah, experiment.
Bethany, what did Kathleen say she was doing that gave her the blister?
Spin class.
Kathleen, did you shower before asking me to blow on your butthole?
Okay.
Oh, ew, Kathleen.
No, so in all fairness, I had just gotten back from a boot camp class, unshowered, when I asked my very dear husband to... just blow a little bit
Kathleen.
On my butt pussy.
Okay, you know, Kathleen, you know, as my wife, I am going to try to take your side on things, but I really can't.
Okay, so then I tried to compromise and I said, can you just plug in the fan while I spread my butt cheeks
okay,
and you can
Kathleen.
Blow it in my direction?
Oh, Kathleen. Neil, I'm really sorry this happened to you.
She likes to make it out like I'm the bad guy here. Like yeah. I should have
you
just.
You are the bad guy.
No.
That the in sickness part of our vows included blowing on her butt blister.
Yeah.
But I actually may have done it.
Oh,
I'm not sure. But no, I don't mean I may have done it. I mean, maybe I would have done it.
Uh-huh.
Had she not gone to this class and then not showered before.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a big.
Where?
That's an issue.
Where exactly? Like if the front of your body is north and the back of your body is south.
Yeah.
What direction would you say the butt blister is? Like North Pole, South Pole, equator?
Sort of like, so I guess the equator is my pee hole.
Okay.
It's like the Panama Canal.
Okay. All right. That's in there.
I'm having a very hard time with this analogy.
Do you have some type of like hand fan?
I don't, but you know what? I took a shower and then I put Neosporin inside of my butt and it seems to do the trick. I'm not in that much pain today.
Okay, good. Good. I'm so glad.
Guys, I know that I'm not the only one.
Maybe I need to go back to being single.
With butt blisters, because I Googled it and some photos came up and I know I'm not alone. So I feel a little bit better.
You do not need to go back to being single. You simply just don't want to date. Kathleen.
That's why you don't go to spin class. Those seats are hard.
Oh, they are. They are
kinda hard.
It was like in my. It was in my buttocks.
They're hard.
Like I cleaned it for the person who's going to use it after me. But
all right.
Your butt or the seat?
Oh, yeah. But
you clean the seat for a stranger.
Not my butt.
Husband. Is this what marriage is like?
Yeah. Get ready, Bethany.
Most of it's not that gross.
Yeah.
But it's mostly pretty gross.
Oh God.
Yeah. It's gross.
Where's the pizza, though?
Yeah.
Is my big question.
All right. We're going to wrap it up. Thanks for joining our Wine Down Friday.
I am so drunk.
Yes. We need a little bit of water.
What did you learn this
and
week?
Pizza. I learned this week that you can get a butt blister.
I learned this week that this wine is good. 1895. Collection. Malbec.
2017.
You guys, 2017. Hey, all, 2017 was a good vintage of 1895.
That would be a toddler if that bottle of wine was a baby.
Yeah, I'm drinking that toddler.
Okay, quick, before we go, I'm going to throw this out there. This comes from our Acquired Taste Facebook fan group.
Okay.
Would you rather take amazing hot showers for the rest of your life or have sex for the rest of your life? And go.
Amazing hot showers.
Sex, easy.
Sex, easy, because I don't shower already as it
is. Ew.